Welcome to the Upper Room Discourse. I'm Felipe Marin.
And I'm Dakota Childress. Stay tuned for our discussions on scripture, doctrine, music, and anything else.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Upper Room Discourse.
Yes, this is our final episode of October.
Yes.
Not the season. And we're, as of recording this, it is Halloween night. I was about to say day, but...
Happy Reformation Day.
Caught me off guard. Not like scared me or anything, but it was just out of nowhere.
Happy Reformation Day.
Happy what? Yeah, happy past Reformation Day.
Yeah.
It'll be November 4th as of this episode coming out.
Well, I guess it's technically not the last of October. Last week was.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's already been a couple of days into November. But anyway, so, happy late Halloween, late Reformation Day.
I guess, yeah.
Whatever. But last week was Catholicism.
Yep.
And we started a talk about theology, doctrine, and...
really looking at, like, artists that claim Christianity.
Right.
Yet their belief system doesn't align perfectly with what the Bible teaches.
Right. Or they got some whack beliefs.
Yeah.
So we looked at Matt Maher last week, who was a Catholic, and don't know what you decided about, you know, you as a listener, whatever you decide based on what we talked about last week with Matt Maher being Catholic, whether you decide to listen to him or not after learning of that, that's your decision. Just know that there's a lot of songs that he has written and co-wrote for, not only himself, but other artists, and his music is everywhere. A lot of it is solid. So just take that with, I was going to say a grain of salt, but that's your discretion.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do with all that information on last week's episode, what you would like.
Yep. This week we begin, I don't want to say like a cascade of icebergs, but this week we have quite an iceberg to unpack.
Yeah. Last week would be iceberg number one. That's Matt Maher. The Catholic iceberg's got to be the biggest one as far as history goes and like how long Catholicism has been around.
Yeah.
As far as like contemporary artists, I think this is probably like the biggest contemporary Christian iceberg that we're going to do.
One of the biggest.
Or one of them, yeah.
One of the biggest for sure, at least on a Christian side. And I mean, I don't know where we want to start with this. I think one thing we could start, which it's kind of fitting with today being Halloween. I don't really celebrate Halloween, not like that. But really looking at kind of like the darker side, I don't like claiming things as being demonic because... Like, I think you understand where I'm going with it. Like, I don't want to just claim and say that's demonic by looking at it. But with this artist, with some of her music, I had to turn it off. Like, I could not continue listening to it because, and I don't want to use the word demonic, but there's just something off. Yeah, something is off. Like, almost like, maybe like there's like a cloud or like some kind of like darkness there. But I don't. And again, I don't want to use the word demonic, but it just there's just something off.
You know, I can tell you what that is. Okay. The artist that we're looking at this week, I'm not going to drop the name yet, but you'll figure, I hope, that this description of her is good enough for you to figure out. But she is a modern day hippie.
Okay.
She is a hippie, but just modern day. And as far as I know, she doesn't do any drugs. So when I think of hippie, if you don't know of this band, just go look up Grateful Dead. Look up what a deadhead is. You know, somebody who followed the band Grateful Dead around all the time. They did any drug, just about imaginable, acid, weed, cocaine, stuff like that. And they were just really into the music, and they were just really carefree, and they didn't really have a thought process on life, I guess, besides peace and love. And besides the drugs and all of that has to do with like the hippies and everything.
Mm-hmm.
This person has it all: the love, the peace, the kind of carefree attitude about life, mm-hmm. the mindset, the mantra, the style. So, without any like more description, Felipe, who are we talking about today?
Today we are looking at the iceberg that is Lauren Daigle.
Huge. Huge iceberg.
A lot below the surface that is actually not hard to find, too.
Right. Yeah, one search of what does Lauren Daigle believe brings up multiple websites mm-hmm. with some interviews, some people who have done extensive research into her life and things that she said and yeah. And just based off of other interviews. So it's not that hard to find a lot of what Lauren Daigle believes or doesn't believe.
Yeah. And, for those of you that, well, I would think most of you know who Lauren Daigle is, or at least have heard of her, because she does claim Christianity. She does claim, maybe she doesn't claim so much to be a Christian artist. I guess you can put like air quotes, cause she doesn't really want to label herself as a Christian artist. I feel like at least some of the interviews kind of give that impression. She wants to label herself as an artist. But in the circles that we run in, she's considered, you know, on the Christian side, you know, that's at least where she started, where her music was at first. And it's just, I'm trying to think where my train of thought was, in case you guys are curious, I've had like 2 hours of sleep.
No, you're good. But you're right. She, I would be so, we can come back to this. I was just going to say this right quick. I would be so careful of labeling her Christian.
Mm-hmm.
It's like after learning about what I've learned, what she believes and some of the things she has said and been a part of, it's scary.
It really is. I don't think she is a Christian just based off of like I don't want to just sit there and judge her heart about it.
Right.
But just by looking at her actions and the things she's said and done, I just don't see at least how she could be a Christian.
Yeah. And that's not our place to judge anybody mm-hmm. unless, you know, I can specifically say, no, they're not a Christian because they've said themselves, I reject God, I reject Christianity, mm-hmm. things like that. And we've talked about some of those artists. So I think we can definitely say without a shadow of a doubt that those people are not Christians. They are not believers.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But there are some where I find it hard to say whether they are a true practicing Christian. And Lauren Daigle is one of those who I find to be very deceptive in not only what she has said off stage and in interviews, but also, and we'll get into some of her music, but the mm-hmm. lyrics in her music. She starts off strong in her first album, and strong, like if we're talking on a scale of 1 to 10, being like a 6.5, maybe 7 at the highest. And then it just gets slower from there
mm-hmm.
with each album. And the only solid albums she's had, I would say fully, are her 2 Christmas albums, because yes. they're all just retakes of old Christmas hymns and other Christmas songs. So
no, yeah, that's absolutely,
that's a
true.
Good place to start.
And, well, I remember what I was going to say. She has won a Grammy.
Yes.
I think it's just one, but she has won a Grammy to yep. kind of put in perspective what level of artist she is.
Right. She's been up for numerous awards. She was on American Idol 2011 and 2012 and didn't make it anywhere. I was just kind of reading up on her mm-hmm. biography a little bit, Wikipedia, you know, not that everything on Wikipedia is true,
yeah.
but so just take it with a grain of salt. But she was on American Idol twice, 2011 and 2012. And then her first song
mm-hmm.
was on another band's album. And she was not well known at the time, a local band.
Mm-hmm.
So she was on there and then somehow got in contract with whatever the name of that record label is. It starts with a C. You can go look it up. It's on Wikipedia.
Know. I don't know what record label she's a part of. Off the top of my head, I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't either. But she got part of this record label probably around 2014, 15, something like that. And her first album came out in 2016.
Mm.
Which that's the halfway solid one. Yeah. That still has some issues with it.
Yeah. And there's just, I feel like there's so much to unpack. We start off with, she does not really mention God or Jesus very much in her music. Like, definitely on her earlier stuff, she definitely, there's some in there, not a lot, but it is there. But definitely, like, her latest album, her self-titled Lauren Daigle album, that album, I don't even think I would classify that as a Christian album. I don't even know if I would consider any of those songs to be Christian. It's just the theology is really bad. Most of them are really just like love songs in general, you know, very generalized music. For me, it just feels more secular than it does Christian. You know, and I think it's fair that I can say that because I listen to a lot of secular music, probably as much secular music as I do Christian music. And if I were to like scale her latest album, it definitely feels way more secular than it does Christian.
Right. And kind of going along with, you know, these lines is we're looking at Proverbs today as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole topic of being foolish and being wise and, you know, looking for riches and desiring riches versus being poor in spirit and being humble before God. And not necessarily wanting yourself to be poor, but not looking for the earthly things, not looking for material wealth. But setting your sights on spiritual wealth and the things you can have there. And so that's kind of what Proverbs is about. And I see a lot of what Proverbs talks about when it comes to not holding tight to wisdom and not making wisdom and understanding and making knowledge something that you're always striving for.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that comes out in her music. Especially because, like you said, there's a lack of her mention of God in her songs.
Mm-hmm.
But what you see a lot of is love.
Yes.
You see a lot of this, oh, you love me. Oh, you care about me. You know who I am. There's a lot of this identity, I guess, and trying to say that God knows who I am without saying God knows who I am. And so that's why it comes off as very generic. And there has to be an understanding there that, yeah, God knows who we are. And he knows who we are at first is a sinner in need of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that we are in need of righteousness and wisdom and understanding. And I feel like she lacks that.
I agree 100%.
And Proverbs is so full of verses about lacking understanding. But one verse that kind of, I guess, stuck out to me for her specifically, I was kind of talking to Felipe about this verse a few minutes ago before we actually started recording, but it's Proverbs 11:22, a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion or taste. And as somebody, I'm not going to sit here and try to say, oh, I'm better than she is. Oh, I'm more knowledgeable in scripture and doctrine and theology than she is.
Yeah.
Which, well, that's not even. But anyway, I think a lot of her doctrine and theology comes out in her music, and it's very shallow, and it is very elementary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if she were to be put into the world of the New Testament, so the early church, Paul's day, I think she would get lit up by Paul. And I think Paul would be very hard on her. And I think she needs a hard word spoken to her, done in love, done rightly. Being like, hey, you are not speaking in a way that is gospel-centered and God-focused and Christ-focused. And you are not leading people to salvation. You're not helping lead people. We don't lead people to salvation. We help to lead people to salvation. We help to do those things. Mm-hmm. And she is not. What she focuses on is this whole aspect of love
and acceptance.
And acceptance. And while that's good in some sense, God does not love and accept sinners who actively deny God and are actively doing everything they can to put themselves further and further away from God and keep themselves separated from God. God does not love people like that. The Bible is clear that God opposes the proud and that God hates sinners.
No, absolutely. And again, it's funny with the verse because it talks about a beautiful woman. I actually, and I mean, I don't want to be like shallow with it, But I do think a lot of her success comes with the fact that she has a good voice and she's very pretty.
Yeah, she is.
You know, she's very beautiful and she has a good voice. And at least when it comes to the whole like music industry, when you have both of those, like producers jump on that very quickly mm-hmm. because they know it can lead to a lot of success. And I think that's a big thing with, at least with Lauren Daigle, I think that's a big thing that happened with her.
Yeah. And there's a whole like another thing I think with that, and this can be done for, you know, males and females, mm-hmm. but I think something that really sells is, and you kind of alluded to it, but attractiveness.
Yeah.
And we see that, and it starts with the attractiveness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've all heard the phrase sex sells. And so I think that's how it starts. Not mm-hmm. saying that she's done anything like promiscuous like that or anything. So I'm not starting any rumors and I'm not trying to say anything about Lauren Daigle in that sense. But what I am saying is that beauty and talent do sell
mm-hmm.
and that things that are attractive do sell. And part of that does come from a, I would say a sexual, place. Mm-hmm. And because I mean, what guy, when they see a beautiful girl is not in some way attracted to her, right? Or what girl is not attracted to a good looking guy?
Mm-hmm.
It's just innate nature that God has given us. And I think in some way that does sell. And Proverbs talks about that a lot too, the promiscuous mm-hmm. woman. Not saying once again
yeah.
that Lauren Daigle is promiscuous or that she's a harlot or an adulteress or anything. I'm not saying that. I'd far from it from as what I can understand. But the attractiveness does sell. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes out more so in her voice than anything else. And she's got a good voice,
yeah.
but her teaching is so shallow and so wrong.
Yeah,
and that's what we need to focus on.
And to kind of hone in on our teaching, this is, I guess, we're going to start to dive deeper here. We can start about, she doesn't go to church.
No.
From best that we can be, that we can tell, and from her interviews, from her words, she claims that her church is her stage. When she goes out there and performs, that's church for her. You know, and obviously the big, you know, controversy and backlash about that is where's the teaching? You know, where's the discipleship? You know, it doesn't exist there. And not only that, she's claiming that's church for her, but yet, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I could very much be wrong. I've never been to one of her concerts.
Me either.
But from what I understand is she doesn't really share the gospel or she doesn't really talk about God or Jesus that much. Like she already doesn't do it in her music a lot, but even at her concerts, like in between songs, she doesn't really talk about that, you know? And it's something that I read about as I was, you know, reading through articles and stuff. But oftentimes she talks about her faith is just faith. You know, she doesn't really talk a lot about Jesus. She doesn't really even talk a lot about God. She just talks a lot about her faith is kind of how she puts it, which at least for me, that's a big red flag, you know, because I think a Christian as it, this verse is just in my mind, but Romans 1:18, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, and it almost feels, I'm not saying that she's ashamed of it, but it almost feels like there's a shame aspect because she doesn't talk about it.
Yeah, I'd like to sit down and do an interview with her about that. Mm-hmm. But there was one interview done, and it's on one of those websites that I sent you, Felipe. And you can go and, mm-hmm. like I said, if you look up Lauren Daigle Beliefs, you'll come across quite a few websites. And one of them, written by a woman, she talks about how Lauren Daigle, when she was younger, she had, and this is part of her testimony.
Oh yes, we can we'll start, we can go do the testimony.
So she got some kind of
vision.
It's what?
Vision.
I don't even know. Some kind of disease.
Oh no, you were talking okay, we're starting.
Yeah,
we haven't got to the visions and the dreams yet.
No, we haven't gotten there.
Hold your horses, guys. There's visions and there's dreams coming.
Yeah, so.
Well, yeah, she had an illness.
She had an illness that took her out of school for a couple of years. And so then she started having these dreams and visions, quote, air quote.
Mm-hmm.
And they were from God, quote, mm-hmm. or something along those lines. And then that's like the only, well, I don't even know if they were really from God or not. But anyway, but they were dreams of her future mm-hmm. success.
Yep.
And I'm trying so hard not to just bust out laughing. because it's kind of ridiculous if you want my honest opinion. But she dreams of like tour buses and mm-hmm. stage and singing. And it's like, yeah, that's everything you want. And dreams don't really have much meaning. So
I know.
I don't think we should be looking to dreams for meaning. What we should be looking to meaning is scripture, which gives wisdom and understanding, not a dream. And so that's one of the ways that I see Proverbs and Lauren Daigle kind of connecting but clashing at the same time.
Yeah, and I think this is a great segue into our title for today, The Way to Stand. You know, and if you're new to Proverbs, we've talked about Proverbs a little bit on this podcast before. At least in the start of Proverbs, there's this huge emphasis on the way, you know, essentially the way you walk, the way you live your life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we start, like, this is like, I guess, strike one, there's what, like 10 strikes probably. But strike one, her testimony, she can't stand on that testimony, at least as a Christian, because, there's no mention. If you read through her testimony of what she's said, if you look at her website about what she writes, she doesn't mention Jesus at all. She doesn't mention the cross. She doesn't mention sin.
Clear lack of gospel focus.
Very clear lack of the gospel is just not even within her testimony. And really it just focuses on focuses on the visions and the dreams. And, here's the quote right here. He affirmed me and who I was in him, you know, and it's like, you know, there's no depth there. Like, it just seems like she just thought it was something cool. Or like she had a dream and God was like, you are saved. And she's like, okay, I guess I'm saved now. I'm like, that's not how it works. Like, did you not read your Bible? You know, it's this is a funny joke. We can throw back to Kanye, but you only halfway read Ephesians.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. And so a lot of what we read in Proverbs, you start in chapter one and you probably work about 10 chapters. Mm-hmm. And there's probably about 100 times, not really, I'm really over exaggerating, but it seems like it, where the writer says, my son, or hear my son, mm-hmm. or hear, or listen, or gain understanding, or gain wisdom, or keep with sound teaching, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the purpose behind listening to the father, the as far as the audience, because the audience is this writer's son. We assume it's Solomon
mm-hmm.
for the most part. And so he's talking to his son if we go that route. And so what is the purpose of his son listening to Solomon? It's because Solomon, if we understand scripture,
mm-hmm.
is one of the wisest men. If not one of, he is the wisest man in the whole Old Testament. That is scripture's testimony about Solomon.
Yes.
Okay. And so who better to give you wisdom and instruction than the wisest earthly human man there mm-hmm. is? Okay. And so that's what Solomon does. And he's instructing his son, not only his son, but maybe his daughters as well. I don't mm-hmm. know. It mostly focuses on at least one son he has. And so he's telling him, hey, look, these are the things you do to keep a life that is honoring to God mm-hmm. and that is fit for being able to stand firm, as we've yep. already talked about, because you only stand firm in righteousness, and you only stand firm when you're walking with God, mm-hmm. and you only stand firm when you have faith in God and in nothing else. You can't have faith in yourself, because we understand that we are foolish. And even though we're wise in our own eyes, we're foolish because our wisdom is nowhere near compared to God's.
Mm-hmm.
And we love to, you'll see this in Proverbs all the time, we love to get ourselves in spots that are sinful.
Mm.
One of the chapters talks about a boy who goes and blatantly walks down the streets looking for the harlot.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds her and goes in with her. I mean, that's just one way where we as humans simply do the opposite of God, of what God wants us to. And we just sin.
Yeah.
Consciously sometimes. Mostly 99, 100% all, let's just go ahead and say all the time we sin consciously. And so where I'm getting at with that is going back to Lauren Daigle. Mm. I don't think there's any wisdom. And there's no standing. And we talked about it, there's the standing firm. And there's no way, if her testimony is based on this affirmation of, you know, who she is to God, mm-hmm. and God affirming who she is, she can't stand on that, because the only thing God affirms about us is our own sin and fault.
Absolutely. You know, the only foundation that you can put your testimony on is the foundation of Jesus Christ. You know, and anything apart from that is a, you know, it's a false witness, a false testimony, you know, and it's never going to stand, you know, and it's dangerous. With Lauren Daigle, she also, like you said, she doesn't have the wisdom. She doesn't have the doctrine. And here's another, you know, strike. We can talk about the Shack.
Oh, yeah, the Shack.
So for those of you that don't know, the Shack is, it is a heretical book, which, you know, we hear the word heresy, we hear the word heretical, we always think of like, oh, that's like the worst that it could possibly be. That's like on the same level as Satan. All heresy means is just like an opinion, but it's just an opinion that differs from the truth, essentially.
I would go so far as to say is a heresy gets you kicked out of the church.
Yeah. But like that's what that's what the word means, though. The word literally means like opinion.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. Yeah. But no, a heresy should, and at least if we're being like biblical about this, mm-hmm. a heresy should get you kicked out of the church.
Yes.
Or at least reprimanded, and then taught what truth really is. That's the whole point of Proverbs, is about teaching truth, and we should do that in kindness and love. Mm-hmm. We should do that through the wisdom and knowledge of God. But, you know, something very disappointing I found out about the Shack. Do you know who else was involved with that?
Who?
Need to Breathe.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Need to Breathe and Lauren Daigle. Interesting. What a disappointment.
Yeah. I did see the Shack, and I definitely agree in the fact that it was very heretical.
Yes.
Very. It's just, well, so I guess to kind of do the premise, there's this guy.
I haven't seen it. I only heard about it through looking up Lauren Daigle, so I have no idea.
Okay, there's this guy, he goes like to this, I don't remember what's going on. There's some stuff going on in his life. I don't remember. Like it's out of my mind. But what I do remember is he finds this shack in the woods, or maybe it's like a cabin or something. I think it's snowing. It's like a cabin in the woods or something like that. But he goes in there and he meets God. But like God exists as like three separate people. You know, we have God the Father, except he's not a father. He's, you know, an African-American woman, which take that what you will, you know, and then
wrong.
The Holy Spirit is like this Asian dude.
Still wrong.
That's like, and he like doesn't speak, and he just kind of like is like moving around, and he's like, yeah, it's he's there. And it's like, you know, and then we have Jesus, which Jesus is like a peer. He's like, I think he appears like as a guy that's like in similar age to our protagonist. And, you know, really the biggest issue, obviously, we understand is that God doesn't exist like that. God's not three separate, distinct people, personalities. You know, he doesn't manifest himself as like these different forms. You know, that's not, the Bible doesn't teach that.
Yeah, it's modalism.
Yeah, exactly. It's modalism.
It's a heresy.
And Lauren Daigle was very like, you know, I have the quote here. She's like, seeing all those representations of God, she loved it. You know, and she's like, where is it? Yeah, I love that God was a female.
Yikes.
And I was like, well, first off, God's not a male. Okay, we'll put that right there. He's not male or female. He created man. He created male and female, you know, but God is not gendered like a human, if that makes sense. Jesus is. Jesus was a man. He was born a man. But you know, God doesn't have a body. Like, let's get that straight. The Bible says God is spirit. So he doesn't have a physical body.
Yes, but God is always rendered as a man.
He's always described as Father. Yes.
So it is only right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When the Bible says God is Father,
mm-hmm.
only a man can be a father. Why we have to get it? Okay. First off, why we even have to get into this topic
mm-hmm.
is crazy, because only women can be mothers and only men can be fathers. All right. Okay. We'll just keep that there. And so yes, when we talk about God, okay, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit have no physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, God the Son, does have a physical body.
And he is
God
a
the
man.
Son has a physical body as Jesus Christ.
And he is a man.
And he is a man.
Biologically, everything.
Right. And so what is good about that? okay, is because it, and this is what's good about that. Jesus is, and this is the Bible's testimony,
mm-hmm.
Jesus is the revelation of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God. And so if scripture talks about God being man, and Jesus is born, and he's born as a man, then that's just only further mm-hmm. approving and defending what scripture has already, that what God has already said about himself.
Yes.
So we put a cap on that. What's so wrong about the shack is one, portraying that God is going to show up in any form that he chooses or pleases. Yes. And
the whole manifestation thing.
Right. Like, I mean, I guess he, air quote with me here, mm-hmm. technically can. I mean, he came to Moses in a burning bush, but we have to understand that it was the Spirit of God that came into the burning. Mm-hmm. There was no physical body there manifesting. God came as a spirit, as he was spirit, to the bush, didn't even burn the bush, and was resting there on that place. Mm-hmm. Okay? So let's just understand that. Feel like I'm going down like a whole rabbit hole, but
yeah.
I mean, it's so important because this is such a biblical truth and something that's so foundational. Because God is one, not Asian.
Mm-hmm.
God is not black. He's not white. He's not red. He's not orange, pink, blue, yellow, purple, green. He's not whatever color you can think of.
Yeah.
God is spirit.
Mm-hmm.
God is, now Jesus Christ.
He was a man and
he
was Jewish.
He was a man and he was Jewish.
Yes.
He was tan skin.
Mm-hmm.
He was not black. He was not white. He was not Asian. He was not Caucasian. He was not Greek. He wasn't Roman. He was a Jewish man.
Mm-hmm.
He had dark hair, dark eyes, and he had tan skin. He knew how to work with wood and possibly stone. And that's just it. He looked like anybody, any other Jewish man. So the fact that people would even sit here and claim, and we see it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the most famous pictures of Jesus are the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus.
Yep.
And that is so wrong. That is heretical, right? Everybody's grandmother, if you live in America, had one of those pictures of Jesus looking up to heaven with the face, and he's got the long blonde hair and the blue eyes. Heretical. Just going to be honest. If you have a picture of Jesus and he's black, heretical. I don't care. If you have a picture of Jesus and he's Asian, heretical. I don't care. Because he is not any of those things.
Yeah.
And so we need to, one, stop trying to pull Jesus into our image because he is God, and God is not created in our image. We are created in God's image, and Jesus took on a form like us. And he came as a man, and he looked like us, but he was, and even though he was man, he was still 100% fully God. And so that ends that, you know. Just don't put Jesus or God into your image of what you think he should look like.
Mm-hmm.
Especially don't make him out to be a woman, because that's a total heresy.
Yep.
And don't say, oh, well, he's black or he's white or he's Asian, because he was none of those things, right? I mean, it's fine, you know, in some ways to say, yeah, Jesus can identify with me, but he can identify with you in the sense that he went through suffering and pain
mm-hmm.
and times of struggle and hardship. That's how Jesus identifies with you, not based on the color of your skin and your mm-hmm. ideologies. So let's just end that there.
No, absolutely. And to kind of continue that idea of Lauren Daigle and her lack of at least sound doctrine, we can talk about Ellen.
Yes.
This is now we're getting a little deeper here. This is the first of like the first big controversy surrounding her. There's one more big one after this. I believe. I don't know if there's two big ones. There's one big one after this, but she appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres show. And this was, I believe, what, 2017, 2018?
2018.
Right around when her second album came out. Do you want to unpack that, Dakota, for us?
Yeah, so basically, if you know anything about Ellen DeGeneres, she is lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what she is now, but at least as of 2018, she was lesbian. and she invited Lauren Daigle on for a talk show. I'm basically just saying what I know. I haven't done much research into what they talked about, what the interview was about. But it came down to one question, I believe either on the show or after the show. But it was, the question revolved around, is homosexuality a sin?
Yep.
So I believe it was on the Ellen DeGeneres show. And basically, Lauren Daigle's answer was, I'm not God, and I don't know. So if you read the Bible and figure it out, you tell me.
Yeah.
That's such a big problem.
It's like a heavy yikes.
And the reason it's such a problem is because Scripture lays out sexual immorality is a sin, and homosexuality is up under that blanket of sexual immorality.
Yes, and I think that's something that we should, like, you know, because the Bible is very clear on it, and we just, like, sit it right there. You know, any sexual activity outside of a marriage between a man and a woman is sexual immorality, and the Bible condemns that no matter what it is. You know, this isn't about the fact of, like, you know, because so many people go into the nuances of the Bible doesn't say anything about a man and a man or a woman and a woman. I'm like,
but yeah, we see what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Anything outside of a man and a woman in a marriage is sexual immorality. And the Bible is very clear on its stance about sexual immorality.
Right. And man, Proverbs is so full of warnings against sexual immorality.
Yes.
And the folly of it, and how it leads to ruin, and how it leads to being unwise, and it leads to the person, whether man or woman, giving up their, I guess, pursuit of wisdom and pursuit of holy knowledge. I would put it as holy knowledge and holy wisdom. And so, man, it's a terrible thing to fall into that. And then the opposite of that, what Proverbs also focuses on, is a man who is righteous finding a wife. And it's sprinkled so heavily throughout, you know, just verses here and there about a man finding a good wife, and that the wife comes from the Lord. And there's such a contrast between, since we're talking about sexual sin, there's such a contrast between going out here and doing what you want outside of marriage and finding that the only thing you'll end up as is broken and hurt. Pretty sure that's, like, one of these verses in here in Proverbs somewhere says literally, just almost word for word, you'll end up hurt and broken. I think so. You can go find that. I have it highlighted somewhere. But the opposite of that is when you have a true relationship from God, a true marriage that is of God. And I mean, there's so much that comes from it. Children, love, faithfulness, and honor to God. And one of the things is, you know, it's not only for you and your children, but it lasts through generations. And one of the coolest verses, it comes from chapter 17 in regard to this, but children are the crown of old men, and the glory of sons is their fathers. And so we see what happens when a man and a woman, not a man and a man or a woman and a woman, a man and a woman enter into a holy covenant together, because that's what a marriage is. A man and a man cannot enter into a holy covenant together. It's an abomination, just like a woman and a woman, abomination, right? And, you know, talking all this truth, you know, it reminds me of other verses where, you know, people in Proverbs where people are just, if you speak truth, you know, when believers speak truth, that's when the hatred from all the others, from the unrighteous, from those who don't believe, comes out. And so if there's backlash over these, you know, over last week's episode, this week's episode, and next week's, honestly, I just don't really care, because at this point, what it is, it's about truth, and the truth has to be spread. Done in love, don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
But there is a time where sin has to be called out. Sin has to be called sin. And we have to stand on the beliefs and the doctrines and the things taught in God's word. And that was a failure on, and I'm not going to hound Lauren Daigle, because she's been hounded already. I think she said she went home and cried for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Not really. I think it was really like 2 days. But she went home and cried for like 2-3 days over that. And it's like, that what that crying should have done is brought you to a place of repentance where you say, okay, now I can say this. This is a sin. And that's what you should have said from the beginning.
Yeah.
Homosexuality is a sin. Transgenderism is a sin. It's an abomination. Not saying that, you know, we need to hate these people. That's far from it. Okay. But we don't tolerate that. As believers, we do not tolerate sin. We hate sin. And Proverbs is so heavy on hating sin.
Absolutely.
And it's not this hate. Well, oh, I don't like sin. I don't like that sin. I don't like lying, so I don't lie. I don't like looking at porn, so I don't do it. I don't like being in sexual immorality, so I keep myself obstinate from that. You know, no, no, no. It's an absolute hate. The same hate God has for it. And it makes you literally angry. That should be our attitude towards sin. And I think in all honesty, it was a failure on Lauren Daigle's part to stand up for what the Bible says. Because who cares if you get backlash for it? That's what's supposed to happen. Right? Who cares? You're supposed to have backlash. If you're a real Christian and you speak truth like you're supposed to, there is going to be backlash, and that's appropriate.
Absolutely. And well, first off, for the record, she did not share the gospel at all on that show once she was on there. But, you know, first off, you know, well, in line with that, the fact that she didn't share the gospel, a lot of times people don't share the gospel in that situation because of the backlash. But if there's anybody that could survive that backlash, it would be someone like Lauren Daigle, who is, you know, a very popular, you know, artist, you know, and as a woman, she had so like outsold so many other, you know, like basically breaking records with how popular she was becoming. You know, she could have handled that backlash. But, and again, the iceberg continues and it never ends. You know, we can talk about, again, with her failure to share the gospel, we can talk about how she kind of markets her music, I guess, in a sense, to non-believers. But essentially, I think she said this in an interview, but she was like, my music saves people. She's like, my music saved people from committing suicide.
Yeah, I saw that. That was crazy of her to say.
Let me pull out the song, which, by the way, I have like a ton of songs. Yeah, her song New off her latest album. You say you used to hang around Diablos every night, trying to fit with the crowd, making fits and picking fits. But that was your story before me. Why don't we give up the glory to the one you are now? Yikes. Old habits die when you want to live. I don't see the old you. I just see the new. God put you in my life for such a time as this. I don't see the old you. I just see the new. How arrogant. And we do not give any glory at all to God in this song.
Yeah, I think it's such a weird song. I mean, my first question is Diablos hang around? I guess that might be a club or something.
Like a bar or a club, yeah.
Yes, it was a club.
But I'm like, you're talking about like how, because they listen to your song, now they're saved. You saved them with your song. And you're like, God put me in your life. And I'm like, that's so like arrogant and like so like, you know, conceited. I feel like it's just like, why, you know? And, you know, like I said, it just like, it's like a slow descent as it gets worse and worse. Let's talk about the COVID controversy.
I don't know about this.
So back in 2020, during the height of COVID, Lauren Daigle was very big about trying to do a concert in the midst of lockdowns and all of that. And, I'm trying to think, I was looking it up where it was in New Orleans, but it was called, she was called irresponsible. She was called reckless. And the police were actually shutting down Rose to prevent people from going to this concert.
I mean,
and it's like, it's not that I have an issue with it, but it's like, it's a time and a place thing. You know, when we're in the midst of, and that's why it became such a controversy.
I don't see a problem with it.
I'm not saying that there was a problem with it, but there was a huge controversy, and I don't think she reacted to it correctly.
And see, the reason... And see, that brings another thing up during COVID, the whole John MacArthur.
Yep.
That's another controversy. And I mean, I don't know Lauren Daigle's reaction to the backlash or whatever behind her having a concert during COVID. And I don't know John MacArthur's response to the controversy over him holding church, like physical church during that time. But because this is the first I've like honestly heard about her having a concert during COVID. So what was her response?
She was just not happy about it, essentially, I think. Or is it? I believe they did quote her where she said, possibly. Or maybe not. Maybe I don't see the statement here that she made. But again, the big controversy was the fact that, you know, this was like early on within the lockdown stuff. And it's like, it's just very blatant. She was like very blatantly against it. And that's what caused that controversy. But that starts her dissent. I believe after this, she didn't consider herself a Christian artist. Something like that is when that came out. When she considers herself, I'm just an artist.
Such a weird thing.
Not a Christian artist, which I would agree with. Definitely her latest album. I don't think she's a Christian artist. But, you know, after this, we get into the whole anxiety panic attack, mental illness, Lauren Daigle.
I feel like she's had a...
Wow,
me laughing at that sounds really bad. But I was about to say, I feel like she's one of those people who would have said that she's had a mental illness the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like looking at how she dresses, one, how she portrays herself, two,
yeah,
and just kind of like what her meaning behind her songs, three, and then I don't know why I'm making a list. But there's just a few things when you really look at her, look at the words in her songs and how she went from being this semi-okay artist in the beginning to everything that's happened with her, especially after. Like, I mean, I feel like the whole tilting point, the whole hinging point is the Ellen DeGeneres talk show.
That's and then where from it starts there, to like completely like flops. Downgrade quickly. Which, by the way, it continues. She was not allowed to perform later that year at a New Year's event. And I didn't realize this, but that concert she held didn't even have a permit. Like, she wasn't licensed to do that concert right there. She just, like, did a pop-up concert. And they're like, we're having a concert, guys. Show up.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Going against restrictions, not, you know, going through the proper channels to do a concert. You know, say what you want. You know, I don't know if she got arrested, but I feel like she probably should have been arrested. Not saying that people should be arrested because of defying, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's a good thing. Yes, we should be still meeting with church and stuff like that, but this wasn't church. This was a concert.
All right.
You see the difference there? Like, yeah, and I think that's the difference between MacArthur and Lauren Daigle holding a concert is that.
Hold up. Because for her, concert is church.
That's right. For her, concert is church. That's why she
for
could
her,
get
a concert is church.
That's why she got away with it. That's why she didn't get arrested. If it was anybody else, they would have just gotten arrested and it would have been done with.
That's you know, so
which is just crazy. But let me pull up the let's look at some of her songs. I'm trying to pull up the where is the opening to her newest I don't have it on here. What is it?
Talking about from our new album?
Yeah, what was the opening song? It's like, Thanks to God.
I'm not sure.
That song was basically what she attributed to getting out of her mental illness of that time. I don't remember what the name of the lyric is, the name of the song is.
She reminds...
But it's the first song. It's the first song off that new album.
She looks like a walking... Well, I'm not even going to go there.
But let's look at some of her music. Do we have
let's
anything?
Go for it.
Is there anything else on the iceberg? I think we hit most of the iceberg.
I don't know. I have to do more research.
She's very worldly. Yeah, it's
maybe she's a liberal.
Probably, I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't either.
Let's,
looks like one.
All right, let's start with "Losing My Religion."
Oh yeah, this song.
What a song!
The only "Losing My Religion" song I know is REM.
That's exactly what I was thinking as soon as I saw it, and I was like, "She has a song titled this? What?"
Oh man, it's so funny that like why would you if the song was different then I think I would agree with it.
If she would mention God.
If she would mention one, yes, God, but if she would even remotely mention anything about religion in the song,
she doesn't.
Which and there is a difference.
There's a lot of assumptions you have to make with this song.
Yeah, so we do have to make a distinction between religion and faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the biggest way to do that is, let's look at religion as, and this isn't the only thing that religion is, but tradition. Okay. So tradition being like, you wear a suit and tie to church. If you don't, it's a sin.
Yes.
Right. You have to go to church at 9:30, right, and have Sunday school. And if you don't go to Sunday school, it's a sin, mm-hmm. right? You don't do any kind of work on Sunday. That's a sin. What else would be a sin? Let's see. Not going to church on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. That's a sin, you know?
A lot of the, like, traditional stuff.
A lot of the traditional stuff. That's religion. Religion doesn't get you anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start breaking away from these things that hold you back from seeing the glory of God and how to rightly worship God, we went through like 5 weeks,
mm-hmm.
not in depth on what worship is, but just read through Psalms.
Yeah.
Look at how they worship through one. It's through song, but they give a lot of details about how to worship through the body physically.
Mm-hmm.
And Proverbs also gives a lot about how to worship physically as well, with work, with being taught, so having wisdom and understanding, keeping the commandments of God, holding mm-hmm. fast to them, not abandoning instruction. That's chapter 4, verse 2. And so when you move from actually, and it really starts with a study of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Losing religion starts with a study of God's word. And once you start doing that, once you study what Scripture has to say about certain things, then you start seeing that, and I'm not saying that, you know, you can just skip church all the time, but you'll start to see that things like going to Sunday school, while they are beneficial, not going sometimes is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not going to hell because you don't go to Sunday school some weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Or, you know, we work in a pharmacy, mm-hmm. right? Some people, you know, they're hardcore. Not that this has anything to do with, you know, values. Or I guess it has more to do with values and not religion, but it kind of does. But, you know, what you do may not necessarily align with what you believe, but there's still, as far as work goes, mm-hmm. like, let's just say that. But, you know, you do it for God's glory. You do it for His honor. And, you know, religion would say that, you know, you can only do certain things. You can only do this or that, and that you're held to this and you can't move out. So you're kind of boxed in on what you can and can't do. But once you start, you know, studying, you're released from those constraints that anything can be done for God's glory, mm-hmm. not anything. So let's get that straight. You can't be adulterous and do it for God's glory. So we eliminate sin from that. But yeah. So religion, there's a huge difference between mm-hmm. religion and between faith. Absolutely. And we have to understand that that comes with a right study of God's word. And we have to understand that it means getting into God's word on a daily basis and reading about doctrine and reading about theology and picking up books that have to do with doctrine and theology and formulating that on your own.
Yeah. You know, and I'm going to go through some lyrics here, but, you know, Lauren Daigle is the queen of, you know, Dakota doesn't like the phrase, but Jesus is my boyfriend.
Yeah, I don't like it. But I mean, I get what you mean.
You know,
a little bit.
But just like this song is definitely like there. First off, no mention of God. But essentially, I'm losing my religion. I'm losing my religion to find you. I'm losing my religion and finding something new because I need something different, and different looks like you. You know, first off, no mention of God. And it's like this song is like, what is going on here? This is off her second album. And it just kind of continues throughout. Let's see. What's another one? Oh, To Know Me. If you want to know me, you need to know my friend is essentially the message of this song. Yeah. To know why I cry every time I see a sunset, to know why I smile at all the things I can't forget, to know why my heart may take a while to mend, to know me, you would have to know my friend. And that's basically the whole song. Is that idea. No mention of God at all. But essentially, if you want to know her, you just got to know who her friend is. Well, who's her friend? Is it God? Is it her husband? Is it, you know, Joe in the corner over there?
Joe Schmo.
You know, who's her friend that knows her so well? You know, and you can put a Christian context on it, but like you have to assume,
right?
And if you can assume God, you can assume somebody else.
Right. And we've made it into an hour of going over Lauren Daigle just about it. But there is one thing I want to say, mm-hmm. because Lauren Daigle, and I don't know why I'm saying this an hour into this whole podcast episode, but just kind of came to mind. But Lauren Daigle is not the only one who writes songs like this. She's not the only one where bad theology comes out. She's not the only one where we can see a shallowness to the beliefs of Christian, air quote, artists. And see, and it's so bad that I have to do that now. That I have to air quote Christian mm-hmm. artists now, because you really don't know who really is Christian and who really is solid and foundational in their beliefs and who really is sitting here solid in what God's word says and trusting that God is true to what he says and what his word says. And they're digging into scripture. You really don't know the ones who, I guess sometimes you do, but based on like their songs. But today it's so hard.
Yeah, that's Bethel.
Not the only one, but
no, they're not the only ones, but yes, that's one of the big ones.
And it is so hard, man. And that's why you have to, I think it's so important, more so now than ever, to do a study on who you're listening to.
Yes.
And do a study on the artists that are being played on K-Love. K-Love, I don't think, always plays the best artist. I don't even listen to K-Love anymore.
No, K-Love kind of goes off of the charts.
Yeah. And I've been listening to, honestly, I've been playing more Apple Music and listening to Christian music on my own.
I stopped listening to the radio a while ago.
Yeah. I think I stopped probably right around the time fall hit. And see, that's another thing. That's another thing I wanted to talk about, because it's okay to not listen to Christian radio.
Mm-hmm.
Man, oh man, I think that's a big part of religion nowadays, is this whole stigma behind, if you're a Christian, you have to listen to Christian radio. And if not, and I think they actually talked about it in one of those websites I sent you, one of those links. Dude was like, listen to Christian music. Or I might have read this on my own, but just talking about listening to Christian music. And don't get me wrong, it does glorify God, right? Most of it, some of it. But man, there was a time from just in my own life, from like 2019 to just this past year.
Mm-hmm.
So like four years roughly, where I listened to no Christian music because of people like Lauren Daigle.
Mm-hmm.
Because the songs and the message in the songs were so bad, I wouldn't listen to it. I'd rather listen to AC/DC.
Yeah,
I'm not even joking. And I would listen to AC/DC. I'd listen to like old bands like them, Quiet Riot, Grateful Dead, still listen to Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
I listen to Van Halen, like some very secular, I mean, Metallica, still listen to some of these bands, not as heavy as before, but I'm telling you, I would rather have listened to these bands and these artists who I knew were secular and weren't going to do anything other than be secular than listen to Christian artists who sounded secular and claimed to be Christian.
Exactly.
And their message is just shallow and flat. And I didn't want any part of that. I'm like, why should I care about what you're saying and what you're presenting through music if it sounds no different than the worldly stuff?
And that's a conversation I'm so excited to have, because we're actually going to end the season out with looking at secular artists and secular music. And I'm very excited for, you know, because it's true. You know, you're not, as a Christian, you're not forced to, you're not only required to listen to Christian music. Now, should you listen to more Christian music than other music? Probably.
Yes.
You know, I think it's a good thing to listen to Christian music, but you know, not all secular music is sinful. You know, just because it's secular doesn't mean it's sinful. I get it if you have an issue with, like, you know, because so many secular songs are so overly like sexual in nature, or any kind of like sinfulness within the song. And I get it if you don't want to listen to that. I get tired of listening to that too, right? You know, because I don't want to listen to that. You know, but it's just, you know, Lauren Daigle, her song's just bad theology all throughout. And it's just, what do you expect? If she doesn't go to church, she's not discipled. I don't know if she reads her Bible. I don't think she does, because of the way her music comes out. But this might be like, this is one of the big ones, Kaleidoscope Jesus. This is one of the big, bad, bad songs. You go out of your way to make me feel like I'm the one you love. Yikes. Okay. You take on a different shape every time I see you in someone. It's in the heart of the neighbor on the corner. in the spirit of a little girl's eyes, in the hello from a stranger at the grocer, in the people passing by, there's a joy I feel when you reveal. How colorful the many ways you meet us. Can't believe the places that we see ya. All your revelations are so genius. Kaleidoscope Jesus. Kaleidoscope Jesus. This is...
the heck is Kaleidoscope Jesus?
This is really bad. Okay, so first off, God lives in everybody. Right? I see you in everybody. I see you all over the place. In these little girl's eyes, I see you. When my neighbor says hello, I see you there, God.
You know, she's probably...
you reveal yourself to me in so many different ways. This is just bad. Essentially, Jesus, you appear to me like a kaleidoscope. You change yourself.
Who is it that believes that the deity is in all... Is that Hindus or...
Shinto.
Shinto. That we're all God.
The way
or something
of life.
Like that.
God is within all of us.
Yeah, that's so ridiculous, man. Yeah, the devil's in all of us. And only then when we realize that because of the grace and the mercy of the Holy Spirit giving us conviction,
mm-hmm.
do we realize that? Are we able to have salvation from it?
Yep.
Man, it's whack, man. It sounds saying Jesus is in all of us, God is in all of us.
It's pretty bad.
No. Did God create all of us? Yeah. We created in his image, every single one of us. But God is not in all of us.
And if we want to be technical, Jesus isn't in Christians either. It's the Holy Spirit. If we want to be technical, you know, Jesus doesn't come and like make a little house and like come into your heart, you know, as you know, a lot of people try to popularize, you know, we're actually indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus is in heaven right now. He ascended. He's in heaven. He's not within us. You know, it's God, the Holy Spirit that comes and indwells us. So we got to get that understanding first off.
I feel like I want to say I totally agree with that, but also feel like there have been verses in the New Testament.
Well, in a sense, Jesus does abide in us in a sense, but it's not in the same way as the Holy Spirit, because Jesus isn't physically with us.
More research is needed. More studying done.
Yeah.
That's all I want to say about it, because that is a very slippery slope.
It can be.
And I think we got on that slope in a past episode, now that I'm thinking about it. And so we just got to be careful of slippery slopes.
The song, These Are the Days. I don't know if you looked at this one.
I know the song. I can't remember it.
People out there, let go of your cares. Turn your cries into loud hallelujahs. This is what we came for. Leave all your worries behind. We know the future's burning bright. This is the great jubilation. This is what he came for. What he came for. Oh, these are the days. These are the days. These are the days we've been dreaming of. So don't look away, because these are the days. These are the days. Better get them while they come.
Man, see, now I'm trying to think of that song. That song. I'm trying to look at this verse.
Oh, what you were... I know what verse you're thinking of. I don't think that's
talking
what
about. Don't worry about tomorrow. I'll find it here in just a minute.
But it's the same thing with another song about the other song, Be Okay. Essentially, you're going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right.
Oh, so dumb.
And it's that same kind of mentality, but like,
not everything's going to be okay. Sometimes you're going to go through storms and you're going to reach the bottom and only God's going to be able to help you.
For me, I see so much arrogance, which is funny because she has a song about ego. And she's like, I'm not letting I don't want my ego to take control. And I'm like, but like all of your songs have ego in them.
Yeah,
that's true. So very arrogant.
Psalm 27. Mm. Psalm 27 has some like pretty good verses, but just the first one, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Mm. So not saying don't worry about tomorrow, but don't worry about tomorrow.
No, absolutely. And I think what it is it's just the deepness as you like go deeper into what the lyrics are saying. She's basically saying like, just put everything to the side and don't miss the day because the day is here. And I'm like,
what day?
Exactly. Like, what do you mean?
What day?
What are you trying to quote when you say these are the days? And I'm like, there's some kind of like weird stuff going on there.
But I think she's in the camp that believes, how do I explain this? She's in the camp that believes the kingdom of God is already here.
Oh, then it would make sense. why she would say that.
Yeah.
Because
see, you wouldn't know that. Like dominionism, I think, is a term I saw used. I can't remember like what that idea is affiliated with.
Yeah.
But that the kingdom of God is already here. We're living. I know one of the
I just don't know how
millennial beliefs is like we're living, if I'm not mistaken, I'm about to butcher this, but it's that we are living in the kingdom, the millennial kingdom already, spiritually speaking. If I'm not mistaken, I don't remember which one that is. Cause you have like amillennial.
Yeah.
I think it is amillennial, could be wrong, but you have premillennial, postmillennial, and then amillennial. And I think it's the amillennial that believes in the spiritual kingdom we're living in now.
But like this, this song I really don't like. And like later it says, open your eyes, open your ears. I'm telling you why. You'll see heaven inhabit our praises. This is what we came for. It's just like, I just don't like it.
The first two lines sounded like Proverbs, and then the rest
of the song is just like, what is going on here? But it's just like, she says everything is looking up, you know, like you don't miss it because it's here and we're having, and I'm like, what is going on? Here's the epitome of Jesus is my boyfriend. He's never going to change. Spelled G-U-N-N-A.
Oh, yes.
I don't know why she spelled it that way.
Crack me up.
He'll always make a way for you, make the sun and rain for you. He'll never walk away from you. He'll always take the blame for you. Always stay the same for you. He's always going to stay the same because he's never going to change. Like, it's just so like, just the fact that she doesn't say God first off at all in this song. Like, I'm picturing in my mind, like the latest romance. And he's like, he's the perfect guy. And this is the song that she's telling herself over and over again, cause she's doubting. He's like, but maybe he's not right for me. But he's like, no, he's never going to let me go. You know, he's always going to be there for me. He's going to wipe away all my tears. He's going to always hold my hand and be there for me. You know, that's the vibe of the song. And it's like, she doesn't mention God. Like, you can assume it's God, but at the same time, you can assume it's somebody else.
I think another verse, just kind of flipping through Proverbs right here, somehow made my way around to chapter 28 when I was just in 27. So, but I didn't have these verses highlighted. But it says, he who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. He who leads the upright astray in an evil way will himself fall into his own pit.
Mm.
So, I mean, when you set yourself up to do what Lauren Daigle is doing, to not mention God, to not have your life revolve around scripture, to not bring the message of the gospel into your music, your life is going to be without it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can wholeheartedly see that. Also, I mean, it says earlier on in Proverbs that God is the only judge of the heart. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a paraphrase or a rephrase of it. So we're not to judge a person's heart, but I am here to say if it walks like a duck, talks like a duck,
it's probably a duck,
looks like a duck, it ain't a chicken.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And like I said, I mean, we don't know Lauren Daigle's heart. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of Christians, you know, in any church.
Absolutely. That are the exact same way.
Exactly. That say they're a Christian, don't do anything with their lives. They sit on a pew every Sunday and Wednesday, and that's the only time they open their Bible. And that's been each and every believer at some point in their life, right? And Proverbs talks about the laziness. Proverbs talks about the person who's lazy. And I would go as far as to say, you know, this is more spiritually speaking in application, but a person who is lazy spiritually is a person who is less fit for the rewards in heaven.
Yeah.
They don't have much reward in heaven, if anything, because what have they done with their life for Christ, for the gospel, to further the kingdom? And it's not about a reward, because the reward, I mean, I would at least think the reward is giving glory and honor to God and being able to say, hey, God, look what has happened in your name. And not that you had to use me to do it or anybody else, but you did, and we give you the glory and the honor for it. And I think that's the reward, being able to praise and honor God for all eternity for using, you know, a scumbag.
Yeah.
And that's what we all are in the face of God. I mean, that's a pretty harsh way of putting it, But if we take our sin and if we take who we are in all reality, we are just dirt and we're worse than dirt. We are the most gruesome thing you could think of in the face of God. But the fact that he cleans us up and uses us is what's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And to kind of, I guess, start putting a capstone on the whole Lauren Daigle iceberg conversation, this could be like probably 10 hours if we really wanted to go into the nuances and all of that. You know, I wouldn't be so hard on her if she didn't do the, like, she's got that whole, like, is she, isn't she? Like, she's like, no, I'm not a Christian artist. You know, I'm just a normal music artist. I make music that I like. But then she comes out and makes comments like, that church is my state, that stage right over there is my church.
She's confused.
And it's like, which is it? Like, are you wanting to be a Christian artist or are you not wanting to be a Christian artist? Because it's like, you say one thing and then you write something else and then you say something else. And it's like, which is it? And there's so much a difference. And, you know, I wanted to kind of draw the comparison. But what if we look at other artists that are Christians, but don't write Christian music, and you can see the difference between somebody like, say, Tori Kelly and Lauren Daigle, you know, because Tori Kelly is a Christian, you know, but her focus isn't Christian music. She doesn't write worship music, but at the same time, she still writes about her life and you see God in there.
Right.
You know, and she writes about her faith and she talks about her faith. You know, she's done, you know, songs with other artists, you know, sharing her faith, sharing the gospel. You know, you take that and that's very different from a Lauren Daigle, who her music doesn't really talk about it and she doesn't really talk about it either. You know, and there's many artists that are like that. You know, I would think of just because they're artists that I listen to, obviously Tori Kelly is a big one, you know, but another one would be like Cody Johnson, you know, who he doesn't write Christian music, but he is a Christian. You know, and you can kind of see that in some of his songs when it comes out.
Right.
You know, and I think there's a huge difference between someone like that and someone like Lauren Daigle.
Right. And the main thing is you don't want to bash the person.
No.
But hard words have to be spoken. You do your best to do it in love, but sometimes I think the passion comes out and sometimes the truth overtakes and it comes out in a way you're not wanting to. But we have to remember, just pray, right? I think what it really boils down to is she is an artist of whatever type.
Mm-hmm.
She's put in the CCM, contemporary Christian music genre. I don't really think she should be kept there.
No, they should kick her out.
Excommunicate her, like this is the Catholic Church. Anyway, but the biggest need for any artist is prayer. And backlash without prayer, backlash is fine. Backlash is acceptable. But backlash without prayer and without love is unacceptable.
Mm.
And we've seen it with quite a few artists. The first one we did Kanye, that was the first artist. Yeah. And I think we saw it a lot with him and we went back to him a lot. And I think something, you know, even with Christian artists, they need prayers too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's maybe a realization that, okay, my air quote salvation, really wasn't salvation. And there needs to be a driving home of that by the Spirit. Maybe she is saved, and right now she's just walking worldly.
It's true. Yeah.
Proverbs talks about the backsliders, and all believers do it at some point. Going to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And so to sit here and condemn somebody for something that we've all done,
yeah,
whether they're some big name artist or not, is just completely stupid. And you know, Proverbs calls us all stupid. So. but no, and like I said, just in all reality, shout out to Cameron for that one. But guess not laughing now. But yeah, just prayer is the main thing with any artist that, either claims to be Christian or claims that they're no longer Christian. I think prayer is heavily needed for them for clarity and for, focus on where they're at in life.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is, again, this is a conversation that we'll come back to, but I would stay away from her is what I would say. You know, I don't listen to Lauren Daigle at all now.
Me either.
Like, it's completely cut out. And now that I've, you know, even with today looking at it, like, I'm even more, I want to get away from it. Like, and again, there's just, there's some kind of like darkness there. Yeah. It's just, it's something is off. I don't want to use the word demonic, but you know, anything is possible.
You can just tell.
But it's just, there's just something weird there that I'm like, it's, you're not quite right. You know, like, yeah, you know exactly. What I mean? Like just the way the music is, maybe not like her herself. You know, I don't know her personally, so I can't really judge like that. But at least in the music, what I see, I'm just like, it's just off.
Something's off.
And I see it because I see the same thing in another artist we're going to get to in a couple weeks. And you could probably argue the demonic thing way more for that artist than you can for Lauren Daigle. And her music has the same, I get the exact same vibe from her music than I got from Lauren Daigle's music.
From her? You mean his music? We're doing...
Oh, you're talking, I'm not talking about next week's song, but yes, there's,
oh, you're talking about later on.
I'm talking about later on.
Oh, okay.
The bigger iceberg.
You're talking about next week. I was like,
the bigger iceberg, possibly somebody more controversial than Kanye.
I don't know. Kanye was pretty controversial.
This other artist, you probably can guess just by me saying that, you can probably guess who it is. Just the fact that I'd say they probably are more controversial than Kanye.
I don't know. There's a lot of artists, Felipe. But anyway,
special episode next week.
We do. Yeah.
Well, special, just in general, special episodes. These next, like, you know, we have a couple more episodes. I think three more after this. They're all going to be really good. So you guys should definitely tune in.
We do. Yeah. We're coming up on the end already. Honestly, like this season, as much as it's felt like it has flown by, has also felt like it has taken forever.
Yes.
And I don't know, maybe it's because we haven't really stopped to do an intermission, any of these episodes.
No, it was we did a straight through.
Yeah, straight through. And maybe that's what's making them feel like they're so long and that each week has been so long, but each week has been so short at the same time. Because I feel like, you know, season one and two.
Talking about Forrest Frank, like yesterday.
Yeah, that's what's crazy.
Shout out to Forrest Frank. By the time you're listening to this, his deluxe edition of his album has come out.
Oh, I thought you were about to say he had listened to our Forrest Frank.
Oh, that would be insane.
Be crazy.
No, he has a deluxe version of his album coming out. As of date of recording, it's tomorrow when it comes out. The past weekend when you guys hear it. You should check it out because I'm sure it's going
to
be good.
Hey, and if you know Forrest Frank, please tell him to go step episode one of this season. That'd be crazy.
That would be absolutely insane.
That'd be insane. I don't know what else I was going to say. Oh, seasons one and two. I mean, kind of studying for those, it was like I did it at the beginning of the week. We both started at the beginning of the week. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, just because it's more conversational, talking about the artist and talking about the songs and how they kind of relate to the books we brought up, I found myself more or less just reading the book of the Bible the day of.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a lot less prep work, I guess. You know, we kind of need to know the song, I guess. Like, and in this case, we had to
do a lot of research. And it is
Lauren Daigle.
And it's so much to research.
Yeah, I think I sat there for at least maybe 2.5 hours, 3 hours, just reading about all these things about Lauren Daigle. And I'm like, man, this goes even deeper than I thought it did.
Yeah.
And I mean, and it's probably not the most controversial of things that have ever happened to an artist. There's probably some from, I mean, you know, Christian music goes back hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to think, you got the whole Reformation, and that was for the Catholic Church. That was controversial. Everything that happened with Luther and all the reformers.
Yeah.
But even up until now, I mean, you got things like Lauren Daigle, people who can't speak against homosexuality as a sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, man, whatever. If you're not gonna stand up for the Bible and stand up for God, then God doesn't need you.
Absolutely.
And I think that's just, that's the road she's walking right now. Is that, you know, if you don't want to stand up for God, then He's gonna show you, hey, I don't need you, and that you're gonna do this on your own until you see that you need me.
Yeah.
And that's for anybody, not just Lauren Daigle.
Oh, I think with that, we will see you guys next week.
Next week will be our guest episode. We did not mention that.
That's right, guest episode. We didn't forget. We have a guest episode, at least one,
just
every
one
season. Usually we have two. That didn't happen this season, but it'll be okay.
Right. Check out next week's episode, and hopefully you listen to this week's episode. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Upper Room Discourse. Join us next week for more discussions in the Upper Room.